Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Fragile Tarot Podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna, and this episode will be about sigils. If you don't know what a sigil is, don't worry, we'll get to it. But the very short version is that RuneSoup, which is a blog I really like, calls them little squiggles with big magic, or something to that effect. So, a little bit of housekeeping before we continue. I realize that I've been kind of a slacker with getting this and my Patreon stuff done in a timely fashion. Everyone's been very understanding. I do have a lot going on. I make no bones about that. But everyone who has supported me in any way, from donating to things to showing up at events to sharing my links or just emailing me with your questions, comments, and feedback, you know, you all deserve better and more consistent stuff from me. So, I will aim to have my episodes of this podcast up on the 1st and 15th of the month. So, 2 episodes a month. I think that's a fair intersection of topics to talk about and what I can actually commit to. This episode, obviously, is closer to the 15th. I'll probably do one on my birthday, too, even though I don't really celebrate that anymore. But a birthday podcast is not a bad idea. Talk about birthdays and celebrating them in general. So, starting in August, the 1st and the 15th. And if you're a Patreon patron, you'll be getting your readings by the 15th of the month, as well as an actual focus on getting those new moon and full moon readings that I promised. I know I said I might have some podcast extras, but I'd rather keep the podcast free for everybody. Maybe I'll have some things that are not exclusive to Patreon, but you get them on Patreon first and then it gets released. But I'm really big on having magic and magical resources generally be accessible. That doesn't mean that there aren't times you should pay people, but, you know, I will take your money. But I think that the bulk of what I have to offer, I would really like to remain free. So, on that note, let's talk about sigils. Sigils are a kind of magic that's very popular in the chaos magic world, although the concept of using symbols in magic is not new or particularly revolutionary. There's a few different camps on sigils and how to use them that are very popular. So, again, remember I said it was, you know, little squiggles that get you big magic. So, what are sigils? That depends on the camp of magic, I guess. But the short version is that they are little glyphs or symbols that represent directly or indirectly a statement of intent, something you'd like to happen in your life, something you'd like to manifest in your life, or a concept. So there's two big camps of sigil making right now. There's the Austin Osman Spare method, also I tend to refer to it as a Sparian method. And then there's a more organic version that I've kind of seen crop up more on Tumblr and in some of the more hedge-witchy circles I'm in. So I want to preface this with I don't think that either one is more or less valid. I have certain systems that I've personally had better results with, but that's my personal experience. It's not everybody. So give these things a try yourself and see what happens. So I'm going to go over the Austin Osman Spare kind first. I'm going to preface this with the fact that I'm not a huge expert on Austin Osman Spare, but he is credited with the version of sigils that we use now. Frater UD also has a book on sigils that follows this general formula. One thing I really do like about Spare is that after he dabbled with Crowley and other Thelemites, he decided that ceremonial magic and occultists who do ceremonial magic are, quote, the unemployed dandies in the brothels. So, I mean, obviously, I don't really think this. I'm not judgy in that way, but I didn't pursue chaos magic for a long time because I actually had that kind of view of Thelemites or people who did ceremonial magic. I thought that was all there was to chaos magic, and I was very wrong. And that's why I've been talking about getting outside of your own comfort zone with this kind of stuff. So, the major method of creating sigils is that you create a sentence of will or intent or manifestation. You remove all of the vowels. You remove all the repeating letters. And whatever letters you're left with, you make a glyph with it, a symbol, you know? It's hard to describe unless you just play with it yourself. Peter J. Carroll created what's called an alphabet of desire in Liber Null. And, you know, you can use preformed glyphs like that if you like. If you find that that's a belief system paradigm that you want to work within, go for it. But you don't need to do that. So there's a few different schools of thought when it comes to this. Let's start with that statement of intent. So with a statement of intent, you want to figure out a phrase that encapsulates what you're trying to do in a manner that is clear and concise and doesn't leave room for misinterpretation and is also realistic. You're more likely to, you know, let's say you wanted to make a sigil about finding someone to date and be with. Say you have a big crush on someone in your office. You don't want your statement of intent to be, I will date Rakim by September. There's too many variables in there. You can't promise that Rakim's going to be into you. What you can do is figure out what qualities in that person you're looking for. And I will find a person who is funny and has time for me by the end of the year. Something like that. It really depends, too, on what your time frame is, whether this is something you need done sooner, if you do have a particular time frame for it, if it's just something that you'd like to happen. There's also some contention over whether you should phrase it as I will or I have. Some people think that if you say that you will have it, you are just putting it off and you will never actually attain the thing. Whereas some people believe that if you say that you already have it, the universe won't provide it because it's like, well, they already have that. Sort of like if you set a goal and you tell everyone before you've even really started doing the work, psychologically, that's actually shown not to work. Accountability is great, but you need to have already done some of the work before sharing it with people. And everyone works differently, obviously, but, you know, for like weight loss is one of the big ones. You know, if you tell people, I'm going to start a diet tomorrow, I'm going to cut out all this, and everyone says, oh, good for you, that's so great. You may feel that psychological boost of having done it, but you never actually did it, and then you never see the results. Whereas if you already start, and a few weeks after, and you started seeing some changes, you start telling people, hey, a few weeks ago, I started doing this, and I'm not done, but, you know, hey, I'd like some support or acknowledgement on this journey, that's a little bit more successful. So there's that. And then The biggest thing that is present in creating sigils is removing the vowels and the repeating letters. I'll be real with you. I don't know the esoteric reasons behind this. And if any of my listeners have more info on that, that would be really cool. The repeating letters are obvious, but the vowels, I always just thought that it made it a more interesting shape. And I guess it's also just less to work with, just really distilling it down into its elements, you know, with some obvious exceptions. You can often tell the shape of a word even if it's missing its vowels, but you can't do the same for its consonants. So honestly, I guess that's probably the rub there. But so that's what's consistent in most forms of sigil magic, removing the repeating letters, removing the vowels. From there, you shape your sigil. This is, again, an area of a lot of variation. So the biggest conception of sigils in this way that I've found is that they should be unrecognizable. Again, it's magic. There's always going to be an opposing school of thought. So some people do make their sigils look similar to what they're trying to achieve. For example, if someone's making a protection sigil, it may look like a shield. If someone's making a love sigil, it may look like a heart. So again, a lot of people recommend making them unrecognizable as much as possible. What do I mean by that? So, for instance, let's say you take the letter N, and you take that letter and you add an F to it. So you might have the straight back of the F against the N, and you might have that F going backwards. Or if you have a B and a C, you might actually fit the C in the curve of the capital letter B. So, or you might have it protruding out the other way, going backwards. Really, it's just about making them fit together in ways that you find pleasing or not. I mean, you may want your sigil to look a little bit discordant. I personally have had the best success when my sigils look like little creatures, servitors, if you will. In my head, it's kind of half sigil creation, half servitor. You know, you're creating this little idea, this little creature that will help make this happen. I didn't intend to do this. It's just, you know, I'll play around with different forms and combining the letters, and then when I'm like, oh, okay, that looks like something I can work with, I stop. It's not an exact science. You know, as far as the more representative sigils, sometimes people will still make representative sigils with the letters whenever possible. Maybe making one look like a house. I'll share my personal sigil story after this. Or that 40 servants deck that I talked about in an episode recently. The creator has little sigils on top of each card, and a lot of those sigils are representative of either a physical feature of the servant or some of their energy. So for instance, the chaste sigil kind of looks like a chastity belt. It's a triangle with like a little lock symbol underneath it. The saint symbol is this curlicue that looks like the saint's staff. The dancer is a little stick figure kind of figure that looks like the pose of the dancer. And so on and so forth. The levitator is also a stick figure, whereas the protester is a little protest sign. So these are, you know, different ideas for how you can make your sigils. So then how do you charge them? And how do you release them? Well, there's, again, a million ways that you can think about this. So the conventional wisdom is that you want to forget about the sigils and you want to release them in a way that is sort of a mind-emptying experience. If you Google Rune Soup Sigils Reboot, How to Get Big Magic from Little Squiggles. There we go. This is a really wonderful sigil resource that I send anyone who is into sigils. They have a, it has a really good overview of what sigils are, how you construct them, different viewpoints of it. And while I don't usually do this myself, one concept that is gone over in the article is shoaling sigils. So you kind of deploy a bunch of unrelated sigils at the same time, and you include one goal that has already happened or something that you've already achieved. Grant Morrison also has a wonderful little piece called Pop Magic, and he's done some YouTube videos talking about it. So you might want to look at that. There's a few different ways people have activated sigils. One of them is activating them at the point of orgasm. Sex magic is not really my forte, but if that's something that you're into, that's worth considering. At the end of a long run is also a good one for me because my, my brain is kind of loose and open. But one thing that the Rune Soup article goes over is that your unconscious is not as unconscious as we think it is. So forgetting the sigil or trying to shove it into your unconscious to make it work better is not necessarily the most important part. I say that you should figure out how to incorporate the sigil into your life in a way that is thematically appropriate. So, if it's a glamour sigil or a personal health sigil, drawing it on your skin somewhere. I've drawn the 40 servant symbols on me before going into a test. I've also drawn sigils onto me in makeup and blended it in, or lotion and rubbed it in, or otherwise drawn them on me in inconspicuous places when I, say I have a work day I think is going to be a little bit intense. I'll sometimes create a sigil for that. When I've had sigils to change perceptions about me, I've chucked them right on my Instagram. Been like, hey guys, take a look at this. This is a sigil. Cool. I got your attention. Awesome. That kind of works in the same way that feeding the 40 servants with attention works. So you're using that energy from other people to fuel it and charge it. My personal weird story about sigils is I'm in this little secret group on Facebook. I've talked about it a bunch. And, members can add other members, but it's not something you can search for yourself. And one time I made a guide to sigils because a lot of my group members had been asking for such a thing. And the example sigil that I used was about finding an apartment. So at the time, my husband and I were living in this really crappy apartment in a pretty good area of Jersey City. It was a really bad apartment, though. Like, I spent a lot of my childhood squatting, and I've lived in better places than that while not really living in them. So, that was pretty intensely bad as an apartment. And it was cheap. We really couldn't find another apartment within our price range in an area where we were willing to live. And even if we felt it was in our price range, landlords didn't. They wanted to see a much higher income, even though cost of living in this area is just really high. So that's not as important. But whatever, I'm not the landlord. It's not up to me. So we were kind of stuck, but I was like, you know what? Finding an apartment right now is not the most urgent thing. Like, yeah, it sucks, but it's a roof over our heads. It's cheap. We can make this work. But I made this sigil as an example for my group. It was like, you know, I will find a safe, clean apartment in a good area. Something like that. Affordable, I think, was part of it too. And I posted it up in the group and I'm like, well, I'm not going to activate this sigil yet because I don't need to move. Like a week or two after I posted that, my coworker and friend told me that she desperately had to find a studio or find a roommate situation because her rent had like tripled because it was like an income-based thing. And even though a lot of the tripling was based on some overtime that she'd worked and not her normal pay, they didn't care. They just literally tripled it. So it was more than the rent that my husband and I were paying in a less good area for a studio apartment. It was a big studio, but it was still a studio. So long story short, we were like, okay, well, we'll help you look for studios, but we'll also start looking for some 2 bedrooms because, you know, you're responsible, you're reliable, I can trust you with rent. And we actually found this really good 2-bedroom apartment where I'm still living a few years later. It's affordable enough. Between 3 people, it's certainly doable. But my husband and I even could have afforded it on our own if we'd absolutely had to. So that was interesting because I hadn't meant to do that, but my friend was in my witchy group, and I guess I'd been thinking about it for long enough that my brain was just kind of like, all right, we're going to make this happen now. Sigil magic, like a lot of the magic that I work with, I think is a lot less about necessarily manipulating the world around you, although that can certainly be an element, but being more open to the opportunities that are always there. Now, not every opportunity is a good idea. People take opportunity and, you know, they think it's always a positive thing. I mean, it's not. There's lots of stupid opportunities out there. But sometimes if you're paying more attention because you've just created the sigil about it, you might have some things happen like that. I've also created sigils to use sort of in the same way that Tommy Kelly has this unifying sigil for the 40 servants. It's actually the little squiggle that's on the back of the deck, like the card back. And the unifying sigil has been used in, you know, group rituals. So I kind of took that idea and made it, every year or so I make a new group sigil for my little Facebook group. And then we can use that if we're ever doing rituals on behalf of each other, if we're ever trying to do a big group ritual for, you know, new moons or full moons or whatever. That's something that we play with. I don't know if I have too many friends who go the fully representative route. I think some of them have, but I still play with sigils more than most of them. But most of my friends who play with sigils, as far as I can tell, do tend to make them maybe not as unrecognizably glyphy as I do, but they are still more stylized than representative. And that seems to be the favored method, unless you're a Tumblr witch. And again, no shade to Tumblr witches. It's just another way to get magic done. But most of the more serious people I know tend to do sigils that way. Those are sigils, mind you. There's other symbols, glyphs that are not necessarily sigils that are used all the time. Most carved candles will have those kinds of things. So try not to conflate symbols with sigils. Sigils, in this sense, tend to represent something very specific. And you may or may not choose to use them. A lot of us like using them because they're simple, they're effective, you can play with them anywhere. One time at work, I was actually working on one. I think it was for getting packages because I was having trouble with the post office. And my coworker's like, what you doing? And I was like, nothing. He's like, no, seriously, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't think it's something that will interest you. And he's like, try me. And it turned out that he's dabbled in some magic himself. So the term sigil was not unfamiliar to him. And he kind of figured out what I was doing, which is why he was watching. I don't usually have time to do that kind of thing at work, but back then I was transport and I had a little bit more free time than I do now. That's my ramble on sigils. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about that. If you are a Patreon patron, you have access to my Discord server. I would be willing to open a Discord server for the podcast as well, if anyone would like to get in on that. I would probably have it be invite only. I'm still learning Discord. So if being able to chat with me or each other about the podcast is something that you're interested in, let me know and I'll set up a podcast server for discussion. I'll figure out how to incorporate that. Feel free to shoot me an email, antifragiletarot@gmail.com, with all that info. So, some back-end housekeeping here at the end of the episode. As I mentioned, I'm revamping my Patreon offering, so I'm about to do a new moon tarot reading for the group. And I am also pleased to announce that it looks like we will be doing our soft opening of the shop next week, assuming all of the furniture gets there on time. So keep an eye on the Jersey City Oddity Shop Instagram, as well as my personal Instagram, Antifragile Tarot, and we will have our unofficial opening up very soon. We're going to have real shop hours starting in August, but for the rest of July, my business partner and I are pretty tight. So we're just going to be open when we're open. If you're in the Jersey City area, please shoot me an email and I can set up a reading for you in the new space. It would be really nice to have someone who I kind of know or know very well over for some readings. I'm really excited because I just ordered some wall hangings from Amazon. I looked on Etsy. I didn't really see a whole lot that I liked. But there are these big wall hangings of the sun, the moon, and the star tarot cards. So those are going to be really cool. It's going to be a really cute space. It's still going to have a lot of dead things in it, so be prepared for that if you come visit. But it's not all dead stuff. We're still working on exactly what our product mix is going to be. We have a lot of oddities vendors that we've been working with. Again, and it's not all dead stuff. We have these really cool like lamps that are cast from old baby doll heads. So those are really creepy and awesome. We have some jewelry that's not just bone stuff. We're going to try to have some tattoo stuff in. Obviously not tattoo equipment, but maybe some flash, maybe some antique stuff. We may start carrying some tarot stuff. I'm not sure. I really don't want to be an occult store, but maybe we'll have a few simple tools around. We'll see what happens with that. If you're a local vendor and you think that your stuff is weird or odd in any way, please consider emailing me at antifragiletarot@gmail.com, and we can see if it's a good fit for the shop or not. In any case, it'll be open soon, so please come by. If you'd like to see what my readings are like before you come to the shop, you can always get a reading from me on my Etsy, which is Antifragile Tarot. You can find me on Instagram at Antifragile Tarot. And of course, my Patreon is Antifragile Tarot, and as little as $5 a month gets you a free monthly reading. Well, I guess it's not free if you're paying $5 a month, but it's a very, very good deal in terms of how I price my readings. And I may be raising my Patreon prices soon. So I'll grandfather in anybody who's an actual patron at the time of the price increase, but those prices won't go back down. So if you'd like to lock in that, now is a pretty good time to do it because I may be raising them as soon as next week. And it might be a couple months, so you might have time. Who knows? If nothing else, I will offer a discount code for my Etsy on my next podcast. So, thanks for being a listener. As always, shoot me an email with any questions, comments. You got a tarot spread you want me to take a look at? I can do that. Hit me up. I love hearing from you guys. Hearing from any listener, just, it makes my day. Especially when I get listeners who clearly don't know the people I know, and it's really cool. And it makes me go, wow, this little thing that I decided to do on a whim is touching people's lives, and that's really, really cool. So remember that you're probably touching people's lives a lot more than you think you are, especially if you're putting yourself out there in ways that are kind of scary to you, because you really never know how far your influence is going to go. All right. Thanks for listening. Have a witchy and or wonderful week, and I will catch you on the flip side. Bye.